Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Peter 4, the verses 7 to 11. 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. My theme for reflection is how to make your life count when time is running out. How to make your life count when time is running out. Someone once joked that life feels like a supermarket. You push your trolley slowly at the start, admiring the shelves, but somehow you always end up running through the last aisle before the shop closes. Peter writes to Christians under persecution with a sobering reminder. The end of all things is near. Time, like a supermarket's closing bell, will not wait for us. The problem is that we often live as if we have endless time to make things right with God, with others, with ourselves. But the gospel insists otherwise. So how do we make our brief lives truly count? Peter offers four intertwined practices that move us from self-preservation to God-centered living: prayer, love, service, and witness. The first move is inward. Be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Prayer sharpens our attention and protects us from the fog of distraction. Peter knew the danger of a drowsy spirit. He once slept through Gethsemane when Jesus begged him to watch and pray. Now older and wiser, he insists that a disciplined mind is not optional but essential. Prayer is how eternity leaks into our present. The second move is outward. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. If prayer keeps us close to God, love keeps us close to each other. And Peter is blunt. Love is not sentimental niceness, but muscle-stretching sacrifice, the kind of love that forgives and keeps forgiving. In a fractured world, forgiveness is revolutionary. It interrupts cycles of retaliation and plants seeds of peace. As the widow Gladys Staines, who forgave the men who burnt her husband and sons alive in India, once showed us, love that forgives has the power to make Christ visible where hatred reigns. Thirdly, Peter turns to service. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. This means no one gets to spectate, whether through words or deeds. Every Christian is entrusted with some form of grace that the world desperately needs. To hold our gifts is spiritual theft. To use them is faithful stewardship. Our speaking should echo God's voice. Our serving should draw from God's strength so that no spotlight rests on us but on Christ. Finally, Peter reminds us of the horizon. Everything is to be done so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. The problem is not that we lack opportunities, but that we often live without the end in sight. We chase comfort, applause, or distraction. Peter lifts our gaze. The true measure of a life well lived is whether God is glorified in it. Philosopher Charles Taylor once observed, "Our age is marked not by too much meaning, but by too many meanings. We struggle to live for one thing that is ultimate." Peter's answer is clear. Live so that Jesus Christ receives the glory. For us today, whether in bustling cities or quiet villages, in freedom or persecution, the call is the same. Live prayerfully, love sacrificially, serve faithfully, and speak so that Christ is praised. Time is shorter than we think, but grace is stronger than we imagine. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where am I tempted to live as though time is abundant, putting off prayer, reconciliation, or service? Number two, which gift has God entrusted to me, and how can I use it more intentionally for the good of others? And now our practical exercise. Choose one person you have struggled with, either at home, church, or work, and pray for them by name. Then take one small act of love, a kind word, a message, a gesture of forgiveness that moves toward reconciliation. Lord of time and eternity, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Awaken us from distraction, deepen us in love, and empower us to serve with the gifts you have entrusted to us. May all that we do and say bring glory to Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.